Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Tuesday, October the 20th, 2020. So it's 2020 today. And we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. And there's always some sort of, somebody out there has, this will only happen once every 1,000 years. You know when they do that, when the date lines up like that?
Yeah. What is this one, 2020?
I don't know. You know what? I guess that would happen every month, wouldn't it? Throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah. That's probably 12 times in this century.
Yeah, that's right.
That this will happen.
That's happened. I guess I was thinking the month, like when the month and the day and the year lines up like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I withdraw my comment.
Or something like that. Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Ray Pritchard couldn't be with us today. Ray's traveling. So if you're wondering where Brother Ray is, Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, everyone.
From Planet Venus.
From Planet Venus.
Studio Venus. Fred resides there. The three of us are together here, Walker, Ed, and Tim. We put Fred in Today's Issues timeout. So he has to sit away from us. All right, Ed, tell folks how they can join us on the internet.
Yes, you can go to either Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues.
After you put New York Post in there. And then look, search for Today's Issues, right?
Yeah, you won't get to certain stories on the New York Post.
Probably, but get us blocked.
If you search for Today's Issues, you can click through. You can watch us on those platforms.
Yes,
you can watch us do radio. I do want to also mention, Tim, just briefly, because we will have a guest later on the program, that today, 2020, October 20th, here in the year 2020, we have the huge release of our new American Family Studios film, In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. We believe this is a critical and urgent message to the church. It is a compassionate and biblical and scientific look at issues of sexual orientation, homosexuality, and gender confusion. And it's a feature-length documentary. We have prayed this thing through. It has been a 3-year project.
It's dynamite.
It is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you can watch In His Image for free starting today. Today is the online release to watch the premiere of this powerful documentary online. You visit inhisimage.movie. All you have to do is enter an email address and you can watch it for free. Inhisimage.movie. Later on in next hour, we'll have Kendra White, one of the producers for this documentary. She'll be on to discuss it.
I think she got married, changed her name, dude.
Actually, she goes by Kendra White on air.
Okay, kind of like you go by Eddie V on the radio.
Yeah, Big Eddie V.
Big Eddie V.
Yeah, Big
that's,
Eddie V.
That's your handle.
That's right.
That's your handle.
That's kind of what I'm, the teeming masses.
I got you.
That's what I'm known by.
I misspoke. My apologies. It's rare that I make a mistake, but it happens. It's happened 4 times this year already.
That's the risk in correcting someone live on air.
Duly noted.
You hope you're right.
I realized when that started rolling out of my mouth that I shouldn't have brought that up. But
yeah, that's right.
That's neither heretofore or there. Fred, what's happening in the world?
Yeah, we're just a couple of days away from the last debate of this election round coming up on Thursday night. And the debate commission, that's the group that kind of controls, makes the rules of how things are supposed to go, have thrown a bit of a curveball right at the last minute in all of this. You may remember from the first debate, there was a certain amount of talking over each other between President Trump and former Vice President Biden.
Yeah, remember that?
A little bit of talking over there.
You called it a food fight.
Yes.
That's what it was like.
Yes. Well, the change is going to be this. There is going to be a person who has the ability to mute the microphone of either Trump or Biden. Now,
during the whole debate?
No. There is a stipulation at this point. When the person on the panel asking a question of one of the candidates, that candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to the question. During that 2 minutes, and supposedly only during that 2 minutes, the microphone of the opposing candidate will be muted.
Good.
In other words, a question goes to Joe Biden. He has 2 minutes to answer the question. During that period, the microphone of President Trump will be muted, and so on and so on. That is the plan.
Well, you might ask, Tim, why did you say good? Because they talked over each other last time, and so it doesn't matter to me that they're cutting their mic off after 2 minutes, right? Okay.
During the 2 minutes.
During the 2 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me make sure I understand this right. Opening statements, Biden, Trump both get 2 minutes, and then their mics are turned off, right?
For what I understand, for each question to a given candidate.
For each question. So somebody asked, Mr. President, blah, 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 blah. Then he has 2 minutes.
Correct.
To answer that. And then his mic's turned off?
No, while he's answering, Biden's mic is turned off.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
I think it's helpful for everybody. That's way mm-hmm. if they do interrupt, you can't hear them really.
Right.
Huh?
Well, listen.
How is that biased against Trump, though? I don't understand.
Well, first of all, I would say that the debate commission was supposed to have already negotiated the rules with the campaigns. Now they're changing it days before. I personally don't like that. I don't mind the rule, but it used to be that candidates would just not say anything while the opponent was speaking, and now we don't seem to have that ability in terms of people being polite, letting the opponent speak. So I don't think it's going to be bad. It's going to make for a better debate because both candidates are going to have to be quiet while the other one's speaking because no one will hear their comments.
I get it, and I don't really have a reason to oppose it. I do think it's, in a way, it's almost insulting to the office of the president and a former vice president to have some kind of tech guy with his hand on the mute button for people who could be either the leader of the free world, either one of them.
What's the alternative?
Just to,
what we got last time.
Expect them to respect the time of the other person.
Talking about Trump, Biden, Walker.
Yeah. I think
I don't mean to be a smarty. I do understand what you're saying. You're saying, can we not trust them to act like adults?
Interruptions are factored into all debates, and it doesn't mean that you should obsessively interrupt like Trump did last time. But
well, Biden did too.
And Chris Wallace interrupted President Trump when he was trying to finish his statements multiple times. So I don't know. I think that's something that's factored in that almost has to kind of be naturally driven, and the viewers or the voters can kind of judge if they don't like somebody interrupting someone else, they're going to factor that into how the debate went and the vote. But I'm just, as long as this is used fairly, as long as is applied across the board and they don't start using it.
But it's timed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how can you be unfair about 120 seconds?
I think this actually helps President Trump because President Trump is going to know he cannot interrupt while Joe Biden is speaking, at least for the 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Then the mics are turned on and they interact.
Yeah, let's be clear about that.
But
and Fred, it's not really the long-winded interruptions, although that did happen last. Mm. It's the snide remarks.
Yeah.
You know, the quips
mm-hmm.
that is distracting from the answer of the person, kind of like I do here to y'all. that's disrupting to the person trying to make a statement or a point. So it's like when Biden said, you're a clown, the middle of something Trump is trying to say.
Right.
Of course, obviously Trump did the same thing. Trump probably started. I think he did start.
Yeah. Yeah.
He started with the interruptions. And President Trump, a lot's on him this time. I think he has to be very disciplined. I think he has to stay on message. I think he can't let a lot of pressures on him mm-hmm. to perform That you may say, well, it shouldn't be like that. Well, I'm just telling you, it is like that. That's the way the country's looking at it, because I've heard a lot of people, and we've all heard them, Fred, mm-hmm. and they would say, I love President Trump's, what he stands for, what he does, but I didn't like the way he handled himself at the debate. Yeah. I mean, Ed heard that from a lot of friends that he was talking right. to and texting to, and we all did that night. So what I'm saying is, we all know the president needs to do a better job of handling himself tomorrow night, or Thursday night, rather, Fred, understanding
yes.
that he's going to be fighting 2-on-1.
I think he got yeah. a lot of praise for the town hall. That was done last week.
Yes,
that was much better. So I think he's learned. Anyway, he was on Fox and Friends. President Trump was this morning, did about a 40-minute interview with him on a lot of different topics. The man can talk.
What did he talk about? White supremacy? Because by golly, he needs to answer that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's
an elephant in the room.
Yeah. It'll come up. Anyway, he was asked about the muting mic change in policy there, but he also took time to take a shot at the moderator-to-be on Thursday night, NBC's Kristen Welker. So cut number two.
The whole thing is crazy. This commission, I had problems with them 4 years ago where they stifled out my mic during my conversation with Crooked Hillary. And, you know, they muted my mic. They did a whole thing. They did this to me already. They modulated it at the time, and they actually had to write me a letter of apology, and they did it on purpose. Look, these people are not good people, this commission. A lot of funny things go on with them. Kristen Welker is terrible. I mean, she is totally partisan. Kristen Welker is far worse than Scully, but I do it anyway. I mean, I do it anyway, but this is the way it is. It's so set up.
Yeah, now Kristen Welker, just in case you don't know, she is an NBC White House correspondent. As I think we may have mentioned yesterday, her mom and dad are major, major financial contributors, have been for years, to the Democratic Party. There was a picture posted yesterday of Kristen Welker at the White House with former President Barack Obama. Yeah, they had their arms around each other.
During Christmas when he was...
Yeah, Christmas. And we understand, you remember what happened? We were supposed to have a town hall with Mr. Scully of C-SPAN. Remember yeah. that got canceled. We found out he's a good friend of Joe Biden, et cetera, some other things. And what's happened now, this is very interesting, and I just found this out this morning. I think it is the Twitter account of Kristen Welker has been taken down. Obviously, or the Facebook account. Anyway, it's been disconnected. You can't go and find out what she has said over the last couple of years.
Why would you do that?
Well, maybe there are things on there that would probably point out she has a particular political bias.
You know, I think Ed's right in the sense that, or when he said about this cutting off mics, might actually help Trump, because if the debate... Whoever's running the mute button, which it has to be somebody, whoever's running the mute button, if they slip up and start muting the president outside of the rules, that will look bad for the commission
yes.
and for the moderator. So they're going to have to be very controlled to make sure they follow the rules now, here.
Yeah, and Fred, I absolutely agree with that. Fred, how many actual journalists or talking heads will be asking the questions? Kristen Welker is just the moderator.
Correct.
So she pitches to... So how many of those people, how many are there?
I think there are at least 4, maybe 5.
Okay. So, and they're all from NBC?
Yes. My understanding, they're all NBC.
You know, people. What I liked about the vice presidential debate, which we only had one, I liked how the moderator simply proposed the question and then left it alone. Instead of being like Chris Wallace and proposing the question and then jabbing back at President Trump 3 or 4 times and interrupting him. So it's you either have to pick, is the moderator going to be Mr. or Mrs. Fact Checker and correct the record when the candidate says something that may not be fully true? Or are they simply going to ask the questions and let the candidates correct each other? Which I think is the latter is the best route.
You know, as we pointed out here before, a lot. Sometimes fact checking is all about your point of view.
Yes.
Right? And that's what I find most offensive about what these news organizations, what these social media giants are doing, is they hold President Trump to a completely different standard than they hold Joe Biden. If they're equally treated, then even if they were liberal, I would say, okay, but they're treating both candidates fairly. What they do with, we've mentioned this before, what they do with President Trump is they take the worst possible interpretation of what he says and then call that, whatever they say, racist,
mm-hmm,
or bigoted or xenophobic.
Or he doesn't like
xenophobic,
science.
Or he doesn't like science. Or he said people ought to shoot themselves up with bleach.
Right.
Or there were good Nazis in Charlottesville.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
So because President Trump says things not like he doesn't, he says things out loud sometimes that a lot of people are thinking, but they're inexact maybe, and they're not vetted through a focus group.
Right.
He just lets it rip a lot of times. But what I'm saying is those things that he said that I just cited, for example, the Democrats and the liberal media say he said something that he did not say, mm-hmm, but it may have sounded like he said it if you only play 10 seconds of it.
Right.
So this is manipulation of the words, president's words, over and over and over again. This happens. And last night, I was watching an ad by Joe Biden on TV. This is related to what I just said. And it was an ad, and Biden's on there going, President Trump has continued to lie to the American people over and over again. And they say two or three things, and then they go, he has threatened Social Security and Medicare. Have y'all seen this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. He's running. That's the same old Democrat line. Right. Every presidential election, right? Republicans are going to throw grandma
off a cliff.
Off a cliff. Mm-hmm. In other words, end Medicare, end Social Security. That's not even in the discussion of any Republican in the world,
right?
Including President Trump. But they throw that out there,
yeah,
again. But anyway, with Biden, I've said that the media and the social media giants and liberals, they all take the worst possible interpretation of what President Trump says, or they take his words and then they say he said something he didn't say. Then they take Biden's words and they either don't cover it, like with Joe Biden, like with Hunter Biden's laptop from hell that Fox News calls it, or somebody calls it. They just don't want to ignore it. They want to ignore the story. When Joe Biden says, I went to a black school, graduated from Delaware State, not graduated, but gave my start here. And he didn't.
Yeah,
and he didn't. Right. They don't go fact-checking Joe Biden. If he lies about where he went to college, how can we trust him to be president?
Right.
Bill, over to you.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody does that. This liberal conglomerate that I've just mentioned, and may I call them deplorables? I've been waiting to do that for about 4 years. They are so all in. I've never seen anything like it. They are so all in to beating Trump that they are willing to openly sacrifice their journalistic integrity in the name of getting him out of office.
Yeah, their journalistic integrity was gone a long time ago. Do you remember? I don't remember if it was the debate between candidate Obama and Senator John McCain or President Obama and Mitt Romney. But remember Candy Crowley of CNN?
Yeah.
She fact-checked the Republican
on
Mitt
Romney.
Was it Mitt Romney?
Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney sort of stumbled there and said, in fairness to Romney, he's going like, I know I'm right about this, but you're telling me. She's telling me I'm wrong.
She fact-checked him right on the spot, and then later on had to apologize.
Yeah.
She was fact-checked.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was after the debate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so
people didn't see that.
And people didn't see that. So to Walker's point, I like it better, too, if the moderator just simply asks the same question to both candidates because Chris Wallace's questions were very one-sided. Mm-hmm. He almost attacked President Trump with the question, the assumptions of the question. I just like Walker's idea. The moderator asks the same question to both candidates and then lets them answer. Yeah. Doesn't fact check, doesn't interrupt, doesn't push.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll see how that goes tomorrow night, Thursday night, rather.
Thursday night.
But let me just tell you, according to the polls and surveys, the 8 or 10 battleground states out there that everybody's watching, the race is getting closer
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis, seemingly. Yep. So we'll talk more about that. But the president is within earshot, as I say every day, for those who believe the polls.
Right. Okay,
if you don't believe the polls, that's fine. I don't right. care whether you believe the polls or not. I'm just telling you what they say. All right. Go ahead, Fred.
Yes. Well-known Democrat congressman from California back in the news, Adam Schiff. People may remember his voice and face from the impeachment days. Mm-hmm. He kind of led the charge there. Well, he was asked a question yesterday about that Hunter Biden laptop. And according to Adam Schiff, it's a Russian plant. That's where the laptop came from. It's a Russian plant.
Do you have that audio?
Oh, we have that, and we have President Trump's response
okay.
to Congressman Schiff. Cut number one.
Well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now that they've been pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son. Clearly, the origins of this whole smear are from the Kremlin.
Yeah, I mean, he's a sick man. He is so sick. It is. We went through 2.5 years of that plus. And this guy, he ought to be put away or he ought to be, you know, something should happen with him. I watched him look straight at the camera and say it, and he laughs at it. They laugh in the back rooms at it. And thank goodness we have John Ratcliffe that came out, the head of DNI. He said it's absolutely false. There's nothing to do with Russia.
The Kremlin controls Hunter Biden's laptop that he took down to Bill's repair shop?
Well, that it was a plant.
Huh?
Now, apparently, the evidence is showing...
What's a plant?
A plant that some Russian agent brought it down and said, yes, I want you to fix my laptop. I'm sorry, I think I just went
Is Tom Cruise in this movie?
I am Joe Biden.
That is insane.
Yeah.
That is just pulling it out of whole cloth, Walker.
Yeah, this laptop, there's actually been no one who has factually disputed that this is Hunter Biden's laptop and that the information on it is, in fact, that of Hunter Biden's. All of the
Everybody knows this.
All of the evidence shows that this is, in fact, Hunter Biden's laptop. And if it isn't, then Hunter Biden himself should say, this is, number one, not my laptop, and yes. I've never been to that store and dropped off a laptop.
Right.
So, and then he can explain why the pictures aren't his and the emails aren't his, which would be a hard one to explain. But this, there's been no one in media, in journalism, that has been able to prove or has been able to disprove this whole story.
And who is validated? My understanding is that the signature of the man who dropped the laptop off at this fix-it place has now been determined to be Hunter Biden's signature. Did you guys see this?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know whether that was the FBI.
Yes, and
or
Fox News, independent of the New York Post, has confirmed with a recipient of the Burisma emails that was in fact a valid email exchange
right.
with the Ukrainian company.
You got thousands of emails. Who know what else is out there? And they're discussing Hunter Biden's international business deals, some of them involving his dad.
Yes.
And it's a scandal, but the liberal media is trying to cover for at least 2 more weeks.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes.
Someone is targeting Trump supporters in the suburbs of Kansas City. A number of supporters received a flyer at their home warning them their address had been added to a database and they would be targeted should President Trump not concede the election. My good friend Matt Schlapp of the American Conservative Union sent me a copy of the flyer. Homeowners were told to be prepared to face severe consequences. Look, let's call this out for what it really is, domestic terrorism. For more than 3 years, Trump supporters have faced unrelenting attacks, beaten in the streets, businesses burned and looted, and now the left is bringing the fight to our neighborhoods. This is flat out un-American and unacceptable. It's past time for the Justice Department to put a stop to this nonsense. This is America. You don't burn down somebody's house just because they want to make this country great again. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstearns.com.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Senator Mike Lee stirred up a lot of controversy when he recently tweeted out, "We are not a democracy." You can imagine how well that went over with liberal Twitter users, many of whom were likely hearing this fact for the first time in their lives. Zach Bocamp at Vox.com commented thus, "This may sound like an endorsement of authoritarianism, and there's reason to think it actually is." Senator Lee followed up in another tweet, "Democracy isn't the objective. Liberty, peace, and prosperity are. We want the human condition to flourish. Ranked democracy can thwart that." To put it another way, democracy is a means to an end, the goal being human flourishing. When democracy is tempered by a framework designed to protect the rights of the individual, people thrive, as we can see throughout our own history. Benjamin Franklin famously called this a republic, if you can keep it. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker and Ed and Fred. We thank you for listening to AFR. If you would like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Election Day is 2 weeks from today, mm-hmm. all across the good old U.S. of A. And we will be here Election Day evening with live coverage as we do every 2 years. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, each weekday morning from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time on AFR. Good morning, Sandy.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
Hey, Sandy, wanted to ask you about I know you've done some work with some other pro-family groups, including, I mean, as you represent us, but in trying to communicate with these big social media giants, you've had a couple of meetings that you've talked about. We have Brent Bozell, our friend, tries to work with these social media giants. But we see what's happening now with what Twitter did, what Facebook did with the New York Post story about Hunter Biden's business relationships around the world, and they shut down that story. What is your, I guess I'm just asking you a general observation or where you think we are in terms of the power that these companies have, and can there be anything done to bring about more fairness?
Well, a lot is happening on that front, Tim. Actually, look, to put it in perspective, now I'm going to lump them together, but they are all social media companies. Twitter has just removed the official campaign site of Donald Trump because they tweeted the article regarding Hunter Biden's laptop, the article written by the New York Post. Twitter has also shut down the account of the New York Post. I think this is the sixth day the New York Post cannot use Twitter, cannot send their articles out, because the stipulation is that Twitter is demanding that they remove that article before they unlock their account. Twitter also shut out the account of Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary for the president. I mean, this is absolutely unheard of censorship. And we are captive. We're held by it because there are no other alternatives. Now, in the issue of Google, there's a very interesting bombshell that was just dropped this morning, and that was by James O'Keefe. He's done an undercover video of another Google employee, and this guy has I can't remember his title, but he is an executive who's in charge of the search. He has something to do with YouTube. Google owns YouTube. And oh my goodness, the things he says, the way he describes, he says it's becoming unbearable for him personally, because it is a shutout of free speech, and how the search engine is favoring positions that Google employees want, and how they are censoring and shutting out information that, say, Trump supporters or conservatives or constitutionalists would want. Now, this guy's not a conservative, this Google guy, but he's describing what's really horrifying to him. And he goes on and on. He talks about how the Google employees on the day that President Trump was elected, and some of this we know, how they cried and wept and how emotional. But then he talks about how they let them actually skip work and basically send out an email and saying, we know how difficult, what traumatic event this was. And so, you know, we understand if you can't come in today. They did therapy sessions. And he said, these are the people that are working at Google. And he said, it's very isolating and very, very scary. So on the heels of that, which I'm sure you'll hear about today, the Department of Justice has just dropped an antitrust suit just in the last, I don't know if it's been an hour, 2 hours, maybe just now. Mm-hmm. It just came up.
When you say, drop, you mean initiated one or
initiated.
Had one and they dropped it?
No, I had thought the same thing, Tim. That headline was terrible, but that's the headline. No, they've initiated it.
Okay.
They've dropped it, like dropped on the desk.
Yeah, they filed this lawsuit this morning.
The DOJ has filed a lawsuit against Google?
Antitrust lawsuit, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, just an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is Pocahontas' dream.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, I should say. Senator, probably shouldn't call her that. Just mocking president. What I'm saying is the left is in favor of this too, many of them. Breaking these companies up.
That's true. That's true. For very different reasons. It'll be interesting to see how they come down on this, because heaven knows they don't want Google and Facebook and Twitter to be letting you know what's really true. I mean, the control of information is stunning. You know, Dr. Scott Atlas, who is one part of the president's team on coronavirus, has a very different view than Dr. Fauci. And he just printed and cited information out of Europe on the lack of value of wearing masks. And Twitter has removed him from Twitter.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, this is Walker. This is obviously a big problem. And I think one of the ways that it could be resolved in a manner that we're pleased with is through the legal system, because Congress, there's You've mentioned this. Google and Facebook and these huge companies have too much lobbying money tied up in Washington, D.C. to actually get an amendment passed through on Section 230, which is one of the main problems here, given these companies' immunity from certain lawsuits. But the this is actually, in my opinion, has backfired on if you look at their intended purpose. So the intended purpose of these companies like Google and Facebook and others is to squash things that they don't like, such as negative news stories towards Joe Biden. What they did with this New York Post story is by trying to squash it, and they effectively did squash it to a large extent, they actually, I read a study or a report this morning where actually twice the amount of people estimated read this story because it was censored. It brought this to more people's attention simply because these companies went after it. So I think in the end, this is not their strategy of squashing speech is not working.
Well, I hope that that's true. And I don't doubt that there probably has been a lot more curiosity about the article because of the censorship on it. But then, of course, Walker, as you know, there's a whole vast army of Americans who remain uninformed, who have no idea. And actually, a fact at Fox last night, Mike Emanuel was reporting on this, bringing an update on that, the horrors of what's happening. It is a horror to think that Joe Biden, if this is all true, has made millions of dollars himself through his son Joe Biden by making deals with Chinese communists, by Ukraine. I mean, can we? China is our number one enemy on the globe. It's not Russia. It's China. And the future possible president from 2 weeks to now, 2 weeks from now of the United States could be completely in bed with our biggest enemy. I mean, that has to be discussed. But according to Google and Twitter and Facebook, you can't know about it. And a lot of people don't know about it. So like Mike Emanuel last night positioned the whole story. Look, I know he's getting orders, orders. He positioned the whole story as Trump's trying to smear Joe Biden by saying that the Hunter's laptop, as though it's a political story. Well, it certainly is of political use. But politics doesn't mean that the story itself is not as serious as death.
Right.
And it's very serious for this country and for an upcoming election.
Under normal circumstances, in the past, the media hound dogs would be all over this story, even if it was a Democrat. If this were back in the era of Bill Clinton, I think that they would be all over this. But because they have to beat Donald Trump in 2 weeks, they're all in, as I mentioned before, and they've said to themselves, even if it appears that we are biased, we can't let that deter us from getting this man out of office.
That is absolutely true, Tim, but let me just say it's worse.
Yeah.
This insider from Google actually admitted on this tape, and I only listened to it once, but to my ears, this is what I heard. China is completely controlling information in China to the Chinese people, and they do what they call the social score, where they monitor everything you do and say and write. And they give you a score, and you're able to get into schools or get a job or get food or whatever, according to what your score is. That's what this whistleblower did not use the word score, but he said removing to the Chinese model. And he talked about how they have been he said he's been flying over to China, training the Chinese on all the technology that Google has. And he said, we are completely working with the communists in China. And he said the Democrats are, and some of the Republicans. That's what this guy said, this whistleblower. Now, he's not. No, you know what? I shouldn't say he's a whistleblower. It was an underground tape. They were at a meal, and he was caught on mic saying this, not realizing that he was not, intentionally whistleblowing about the company. Oh, man, it's so dangerous,
that's
Tim.
So,
I just can't tell you.
That's so – I know you got to go, Sandy. I know that is – the danger here, if you take a leap forward, if you think about this for just a moment, what you got going on in America, Google owns who owns who? Google owns
YouTube.
Google owns YouTube.
Oh, is that right?
Google
owns YouTube.
Yes, Google owns YouTube. Are the same company.
Facebook owns what?
Instagram.
And then, okay, So what you got here basically is where you have Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Mazda, Kia, whatever. You're down, so you got a bunch of cars to select from, right?
Right.
If you drive around town. Now, we're down to about one or two social media giants that are controlling information that goes out around the world. And, furthermore, they are they may be two separate companies, Facebook and Google or whatever, Twitter, but they're ideologically twins.
They're the same.
Or triplets.
And they're participating in the election.
And they're colluding together.
Yeah.
To affect the national election.
Right.
And
right.
If you think, if they get away with this, then what's going to happen next is they're going to be the spokespersons for the Democrat Party. In other words, you begin to shape and mold public opinion based on basically controlling everything
right.
by one side. And that's what the DOJ, that's the reason they filed the antitrust lawsuit today.
Tim, to take that further, there will be no other side.
Right.
If Joe Biden
and they're coming
wins,
after us.
They're coming out. Did you hear Keith Olbermann?
Yeah, they're coming after us. Not by AFA and AFR alone, although we will be
on the list.
We'll probably be in the top 10. You know, but they're coming after conservatives and Christians.
Yes.
Especially
and that's
if
not
you,
an exaggeration.
Yeah,
that's
especially
no
if you were supporters of President Trump. It's kind of like they want to drag us all off and punish us for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Sandy, thank you.
Could I just say one practical thing to all of you listening? We know that Christians vote. The percentage of Christians that vote is so low. And I'm telling all of you right now, just let this be a warning. Don't say you were not warned. That if you do not vote 2 weeks from today, your world, the whole ground, will shift under your feet. And you will not be exempt from it. Pastors, members, husbands, wives, you will not be exempt from the results, the consequences of what happens if this country goes off the rails, and it will go off the rails 2 weeks from today. It may not happen on that day. It may be a few days delayed, but we must vote. We must do everything in our power. For him that knoweth to do good and does it not, for him it is a sin. You could do good here. You could stop this. And I'm just saying you'd better vote and vote in person. And that's the end of my pitch.
Thank you, Sandy. God bless you, Sandy. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios.
I always wonder where she stands on issues.
You got to draw her out. It usually takes about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Ed, and Walker, we have a guest now. Ed?
Absolutely. We want to welcome Leah Thayer Pritchard. And if that name sounds familiar, she is the daughter-in-law of Dr. Ray Pritchard, whom we normally have on Tuesdays. He will be back on the program on Thursday. But Leah has written a book on, if you can believe this, folks, socialism. I know it's you thought it was dead when the Berlin Wall fell. Operation Ordinary is the name of the book, and the subtitle is Live the Truth, Resist Democratic Socialism. Leah, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be on the air with you guys today.
Well, I listen, first of all, I noted on the back of the book that you're a fellow New Englander. You grew up in Vermont.
I am, yes.
You grew up in the neighboring state of New Hampshire. And Vermont,
great.
Vermont was always the hippie state. Where you weren't a hippie growing up, were you?
I wasn't. You know, I'm from the old guard,
okay,
but there
the
are a lot
guard.
Of hippies in Vermont for sure.
Well, Leah, let me ask you this. We probably don't have time to talk about outright communism, but this book talks about what looks like the more immediate danger, and that is democratic socialism, kind of the gradual approach to statism and all that communism and true socialism brings in. Why did you think it was important to write a book about something that most people go, well, wait a second, there's nothing wrong with voting for big government. There's more to it than that, right?
Yes, that's a great question. So I'm a former missionary to China. My husband and I lived there for several years, and In China, we witnessed firsthand the destruction that comes when a nation swallows the lies of socialism. When we moved back to America, we realized quickly that America is changing. We all know that. But we were appalled at the similarities we could see between what we had experienced in China and what is happening in America today. So God placed a heavy burden on my heart to write this book to help other Americans understand what is really happening and what we can all do to make a difference, because we are living through a socialist revolution.
Leo, this is Walker. Going through your book, what are, in your experience living in China for a while, what are some of the steps that took place in China probably years ago to get Yes. them in the direction now where they are of a purely socialist slash communist country? What are the Yes. steps that lead there?
Yeah, that's just a great question, because today's socialist revolution we see rising in America is actually very similar to China's 20th century cultural revolution. During that time, the communists divided society into class groups and pitted them against each other. They demanded apologies from innocent citizens. There was a huge increase in propaganda and censorship. There was shaming and labeling across society, an attack and dismantling of traditional culture, the politicization of education, and the effects of all that can still be felt in China today. What's so sad is that today we're seeing the same thing surface in America. We're seeing propaganda in media, censorship. We're seeing the politicization of the education system, and we're seeing widespread labeling and shaming. It really is a socialist revolution.
Fred, it's Fred Jackson here. You used the phrase the politicization of education. Mm-hmm. I want you to expand on that a little bit.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, our education system is becoming just a method for the socialists to teach their ideology, all of the Marxist ideology, to our young children and students. It goes, you know, all the way from preschool these days up through university. And so the same thing happened in China. There was a huge shift at some point when Mao took over the whole education system and started to push his agenda into the schools, and that changed China, and unfortunately it's changing America.
In order to do that, though, you have to demonize capitalism. This is part of the propaganda.
Absolutely, yes. That is a foundational belief of socialism, is that capitalism is evil, and we could go into a whole list of why they believe that's true. But it's based on some faulty theories, and is they're teaching American students that our entire society, our entire capitalist republic, is evil, is fundamentally evil, and needs to be destroyed.
Our guest is Leah Thayer Pritchard. She has written a book titled Operation Ordinary, Live the Truth, Resist Democratic Socialism. Leah, one of the people you quote is Francis Schaeffer, who says mm-hmm. Marxism is a Christian heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how, because I will say this, it seems to me that there is a segment of the evangelical community yes. that is drifting leftward. And by that, I don't just mean they want to spend more money on butter than guns, to use the old economic kind of example. They seem to want to do more than just feed the poor. They seem to be drifting towards a socialist view of everything. How do Christians get tempted to fall for what Schaeffer called a Christian heresy? How does mm-hmm. that happen?
Well, sadly, that is happening so much. We see it so much in our churches today. Socialism truly is a counterfeit Christianity. Marxism provides kind of its own definition of sin, its own path to overcoming it, and it believes that humanity can, in its own power, create a perfected society of peace and human fulfillment. And, you know, to Christians, that sounds a lot to us, honestly, like the millennium. And the social gospel is basically an attempt to Christianize socialism. It's a false gospel that it just removes the need for Jesus and his cross. It believes that alongside the socialists, if humanity can just come together and try really hard and put into place some socialist policies that sound really nice and noble, that we can build God's kingdom on our own here on earth and achieve that peace and that human fulfillment that we're all longing for. So there's a lot of things in Marxism that sound kind of familiar, and unfortunately a lot of Christians are getting sucked into that. But truly, Marxism is godless. Socialism is godless. It's based on the foundational belief that there is no God and that there is nothing spiritual. Everything material, what we can see with our eyes, is all that exists.
Well, it's kind of a, for Christians to get sucked into it, it's kind of a bait and switch. I mean, because I think there are a lot of Christians who read the scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, and there's a lot in there about feeding the poor and caring mm-hmm. for them. But what happens is the bait and switch is you get Christians to say, oh, yeah, we need to feed the poor. But then the socialist view is this is how we're going to do it. We're going to abolish private property. We're going to set up a huge state. And all communist slash socialist nations in the past have been atheistic. You call it godless.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with feeding the poor, right?
Right. There's nothing wrong with feeding the poor, but there is something wrong with stealing from one person to feed another. God calls us to feed the poor ourselves. He doesn't call us to take someone else's money to feed the poor. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big difference.
Yeah. Well, Leah, we're going to let you go. Our guest, folks, has been Leah Thayer Pritchard, and her book we've been discussing with her is Operation Ordinary, Live the Truth, Resist Democratic Socialism. Leah, first of all, where can folks get a copy of this? And do you have a website that folks might be able to keep up with additional research and writing that you do?
Hey, thank you. I don't have a website right now, but Operation Ordinary is available on Amazon and on all other online bookstores. So it's found anywhere okay. you want to find it.
All right. And by the way, are you getting, I hope you're getting some speaking engagements. Your little bio on the back, you're obviously, you know, married. And
yes.
So you may not have a lot of time to go and speak. But are you getting any opportunities to speak about this issue in churches?
This is my first opportunity to speak, but we've had some great promotions, some online promotions, and we're getting some great feedback for the book. I'm so thankful. I'm just praying that God will use the book to help turn America back to God's ways and back to his truth.
Okay. Well, Leah, thank you so much for this fine work and the effort to awaken the church to the existential, well, I shouldn't say existential, because the church will survive no matter what, as we see in China. But it is a devastating threat to the church, the freedom to preach the gospel, and certainly our founding principles and our constitutional republic. All these are being threatened by the rise of democratic socialism in our nation and throughout the West. So thank you for your courage and the great work you've done in writing this book.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be with you guys today.
All right. Thank you, Leah. All right. We are going to take a short break. And when we come back, it'll be a 5-minute break. I don't know if you consider that short or not. We will have Kendra White, who is one of the producers of In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. That releases online today for free. You definitely want to watch this. If you want to find out how to access that, we will tell you that after the break. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Again, 5-minute break for news, and we will return. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.